We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen as Pastor Matt Postiff explains and applies the biblical text one verse at a time. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. Join us now as Pastor Postiff opens God's Word. As I indicated in my selection for that second hymn, the key word this morning for this service that I want you to take away is the word sacrifice. And I'm actually coming at this from an angle that you're not going to be surprised about, and that is the angle of sacrificial character in the Christian life as it arises from the sacrifice of our Savior. And we're not just talking about following the example of the Lord, because the Lord not only left us an example, but in a sacrifice gave Himself for us that we might have eternal life. Okay, so this is not just a moral lesson for you today, but it fulfills that function as well as reminding us of the sacrifice of Christ. Christians are taught by example and connection to the Lord that we should be sacrificial in our character. And when I think about that, I think of ideas like willingness to suffer, thinking of others first, giving, living generously, not just with finances, but with time and our abilities to be a blessing to other people. We exercise good stewardship so that we can be sacrificial. That is, we have something to sacrifice. We don't blow it all on wasteful things, the things that God has given to us, so that we can share with others things that are more useful to their needs than to our wants. Being sacrificial is the opposite of greed, the opposite of materialism, the opposite of idolatry. In fact, a sacrificial heart is an antidote to those vices that I've just listed, greed, materialism, and idolatry. You can help to combat those in your life by being sacrificial and generous to others. Do you know of examples of people who are sacrificial or who have sacrificed for others? Maybe it's in small ways around your home, around the dinner table, that you sacrifice your desire or your comfort for your family. Maybe you think of a single mom or poor parents who worked extra hard so that you could have an easier life. Maybe your mind is drawn to a sibling or parent who sacrificed their comfort and life, even opportunities in life, to care for a sick family member, a sick grandparent or parent. We read of military heroes or hear of them who have sacrificed themselves for our country, don't we? And remember them especially around Memorial Day and Veterans Day and those things. But one of those men I have been familiar with is named Martin Treptow. Have you ever heard of Martin Treptow? His body lies at rest along with our nation's war heroes on the sacred grounds of Arlington National Cemetery. Private Treptow served in the 42nd Rainbow Division as a runner. He was 24 years old when he volunteered to deliver an important message under heavy machine gun fire. He died as he attempted to deliver that message between battalions in the Battle of the Ourcq River in France. Private Treptow's personal diary was later found on his body at the time of his death on July 29 of 1918. So that tells you the context of the battle that he was fighting in France. Handwritten under the heading of the flyleaf of that diary was this title, "My Pledge." He said this: "America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost, as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone." that's not all that common to have that attitude, is it? Many will not sacrifice much, if any, of their comfort or free time or television time or sports or whatever for the Lord. Private Treptow sacrificed everything for his cause. There are a lot of biblical examples also of sacrifice. You remember Abraham, told by God to go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice his son, his only son, the son of promise. Well, not his only biological son, but the only son that was promised to him. A second example, Moses, Exodus 32, 32. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. Excuse me, please. Moses wanted to satisfy God's wrath against the people by his own self-sacrifice. This was at the occasion of the golden calf idol worship incident. A third example, the poor widow who gave the last of her two mites to the Lord at the temple. And we might, as we did before, question the motivation of that in the sense that she was probably induced to give to the last bit by crooked Pharisees and Sadducees in the temple, guilted into it perhaps, but she still did it out of love for the Lord and gave everything. I would find it hard to question her devotion to God, even though she may have been in a corrupt system that tried to take widows' houses. Do you remember that? In that very context, the Lord talked about that. A fourth example is the Apostle Paul, who spent himself to the point of having nothing left so that others could have the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:15, he says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I'm loved." He's poured out his heart and love to these people in Corinth. He's not getting any return, but he's willing to keep doing that for their souls that they might live before the Lord. He did not count his life as dear to himself, Acts chapter 20 tells us. Rather, serving Jesus was to him the most important. And finally, of course, for biblical examples, we cannot leave out the pinnacle of sacrificial character, which is the Lord our Savior himself. The sacrifice that he made is described in so many passages, we hardly need to turn there. You could think of one in Philippians chapter 2, in which he gave himself from heaven's glory down to earth's indignity upon a cross, dying as a criminal, as a servant, hanging there between heaven and earth to take our sins upon him. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that he saw what was before him and despised the shame and took that cross upon him for our sins. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Galatians 2:20, Paul talking about this life that he's living now, oddly living the life of Christ through him, and he says that Christ loved me and gave himself for me. That's sacrifice. We might describe the Lord's attitude using the words from Treptow's diary like this: "I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will do my utmost as if the whole struggle depended on me alone." And didn't it depend on him alone on that cross? There is no other way of salvation. There is no other that could have struggled the way that Christ did in Gethsemane, under the lashes of the cruel Roman whipping, dragging that cross beam with him and couldn't even do it, nailed to the cross, hanging there for 6+ hours, giving his life for our sins. He sacrificed for us. Indeed, the matter of Christian salvation rests on Christ alone. He accomplished all of it by going to the cross for our sins and the sins of the entire world. He died in a manner that no one can say that the sacrifice is insufficient for himself or herself. There is nothing needed to make Christ's work on the cross more effective for anyone who comes to him, and his resurrection demonstrates that the matter was finished. It's extremely interesting to me that sacrifice is used, the word is used, of course, many times in the Bible. You can think with me of the Old Testament. Isn't it filled with the idea of sacrifice? But what kind of sacrifice? The animal sacrifice, isn't it? Almost always. Sacrifice is used in many places in the Gospels and the book of Acts as well, and each one refers to animal sacrifices. This is the gospel in Acts. The first use of the word sacrifice in our canon after the book of Acts is in Romans. And it's in Romans 12:1, which speaks not of sacrificing an animal, but of sacrificing yourself. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, you know it, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Of course, the New Testament also talks about Christ's sacrifice, like 1 Corinthians 5:7. Indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Paul says that we should walk in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It does our souls well, doesn't it, to stop and think about this, the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf so that we could have eternal life. Paul, modeling the same thing for the Philippians, says that, yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. So Paul is picturing his Christian service as an offering on the altar. The Christian service of the Philippians there on the altar, and then Paul's like, I'm being poured out as a drink offering on top of that. Now, if you can kind of imagine the Old Testament sacrificial ritual where you'd have an animal on the altar and there'd be the extra, you know, additions to that, like a drink offering that would be poured out, the fruit of the vine upon that offering, and then as it was burning, that sweet savor would go up to the Lord. He pictures himself in Old Testament language, but in a New Testament ministry of sacrifice for his people, for God's people, rather. Philippians 4:18 adds this, indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, excuse me, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. The offerings of God's people are a sacrifice. So just all of Christian ministry, if it's done, all of Christian service, if it's done in faith to God, can be seen as a sacrifice. Your giving to the church is a sacrifice. You're helping the poor, a little sacrifice. Of course, giving your life for the Lord, that'd be a bigger sacrifice, we might say. Hope we don't have to do that. But your singing is a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God sees that as a sacrificial offering, although we might not think it fits in this category because it doesn't feel like much of a sacrifice, does it, to say thanks, to give thanks for a blessing of a little one who's reached 2 years old? Yeah, that's hardly a chore, is it? It's a blessing to be able to do that. Christ modeling that for us, giving himself by the sacrifice of himself, putting away sins, one sacrifice for sins forever. doing good and sharing, by the way, I mentioned that already. Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Benevolence and sharing, especially within the household of God, is pleasing to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. These aren't animals, obviously, they're not material things per se, although an offering of to help somebody or a material thing to help somebody, that could be a spiritual sacrifice as well if it's done in faith. But when we see spiritual sacrifices, I want your mind to gravitate to not to mystical or not to ghostly, but spiritual sacrifices have to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Those things which the Spirit moves us to do in terms of good works and loving service and acts of devotion to God, sacrificial giving and benevolence, these are worship and they are life. Now, there are some references to spiritual sacrifices in the Old Testament, and I thought I'd just highlight a couple of those to you. In Jonah 2:9, it says, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Now, do you remember where Jonah was in chapter 2? It was a very inconvenient place to be praising the Lord. I think you would agree. In the belly of the great fish. Psalm 4, verse 5. "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." Sacrifice of righteousness? Giving up, putting away sin and offering something as a sacrifice to God of righteousness? This is worthy of your memory here. This verse has been important to me over many decades now. Psalm 51, verse 7. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Remember that. The idea is sacrifice this morning. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Psalm 51, 7. You might jot that down or work on that for memory work. Later on in Psalm 51, it says, "Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. They shall offer bulls on your altar." And then finally, Proverbs 21, verse 3. "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than to sacrifice." Animals is what the context is. Sacrifices have to do with self-denial. Self-denial. You know, denying yourself a candy bar, I guess, is a form of self-denial, but it's a bit trivial. Self-denial for the purpose of really helping other people or serving God can be done each day as you consciously decide to do that. "I'm going to live for God and for others before I live for myself. I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live for others, and I'm going to do that right now by fill in the blank. By what?" Think about it. By what? I mean, you can say in theory, "Oh, I want to be a sacrificial person," but to do that, you actually have to take a concrete step to do something, right? If you practice a little bit of that every day and thank God for the opportunity to do so and the results that He creates through you, then you're practicing that sacrificial spirit and growing in that just a little bit in the likeness of Christ, who gave Himself, and His fill in the blank was to give Himself for the sins of the world. That's what He filled in the blank with. Unique, but you can fill in the blank with something. Sacrifice for someone. Give them something. Do something for them. Sacrifice your time if you don't have a lot of free cash or whatever, if you're thinking about giving in terms of money. Give of your talents, your abilities, your skills, your time, just being there, but fill in that blank and work on being sacrificial. But remember that verse, "The sacrifices of God, a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart." Father, as we come before the table this morning now to share the elements of this ordinance that you've given to us, it's my prayer that You will remind us of the sacrifice of Christ and remind us of what that teaches about our own small version of sacrifice compared to His. Yet that sacrifice, if we live that way, sacrificially with each other and those around us, we may just find that You work through that, change people's hearts, bring people to faith in Christ, and besides give us the joy of knowing that we're serving not just ourselves, we're not serving our own selfish interests, but we're serving You by serving others. So help us, Lord. May we change a little bit today as a result of this message. In Jesus' name, amen.